Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Kino Tri Show. Whether it's ratchet or inspirational, dope or disturbing, let's talk about it. You never know who'll stop through. This dude's worldwide. So kick your feet up, relax, and let the libations flow. It's the Kino Tri Show. All the cool kids are listening. Don't be a Stanley.
Yes. What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Kino Tri Show. I'm in the studio with my sidekick, JoJo.
Yo, what's up?
My usual partners in crime, they out doing comedy. I guess I'm the only one not booked on a Tuesday. Today we got featuring LeVar Walker. He couldn't make it into the studio, so we got him on the phone. Can you hear us, LeVar?
Yeah, I hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Yeah, so okay. Sound like you're out in them streets. I hear that wind. That's...
Well, man, let me turn this AC off. I'm in the car on the Bluetooth. Oh, hold up. Okay, is it better now? Hold up. God damn it. Ah, shit, all these buttons, man. Can you still hear the wind? Can you still hear that shit?
Oh, you're good. You're good.
Okay,
so, yeah,
cool.
It's unfortunate, man, you couldn't make it in. We had strippers, liquor, weed, cocaine,
man,
everything.
Don't worry, though, I'll drink.
You a goddamn liar. I know you lying.
I got your whiskey
in
my
hand. Can you cuss on him?
Oh, yeah, you can cuss. You good. We had Alicia Keys.
Right,
she was at the piano, going to sing, everything.
Well, what's up? What's up, all 10 of y'all listening? What's happening?
They could.
I'm in the house.
We got some people listening. We got some. We got some callers listening. I think they really wanted to hear what you had to say. So I did some. I did some research, man. And you bigger than I thought.
Man, no, I'm not, bro. I'm just a regular dude. I'm trying to come up, man. It's hard for me to tell lies. I could lie to the people, say like I'm a huge superstar, but I'm not going to do that. You know what I mean? I've done a lot of television. However, I'm still in the pharmacy, and I'm desperately trying to work my ass off to get funnier. You know what I mean? So I'll be able to put more asses in seats, sell tickets, and make a great living doing what I love to do. And I put emphasis on great living. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? That's where I'm at, man.
Yeah. You're one of the people I watch, and you're one of the few realistic people that measure success kind of with the money, too, because some people will get on TV and, you know, they'll get to do some interesting things, and they think they've made it, and they're still living in the car.
It's a long road. I mean, I never did comedy for money. You know what I mean? I always did it because I loved it. It's my passion. However, what yielded out of that, you know, I've had good months. I made my first $1,000 back in, shit, I don't know, 2003. You know what I'm
right.
saying? And, you know, I was doing cool. You know, and it's just so up and down. It fluctuates drastically. And, you know, I'm blessed to be a pharmacist and be able to fill in and, you know, work different shifts and do what I do, and you know, until the dream is complete. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So
hey,
LeVar,
this is JoJo. I saw you at the Cat Williams show. You look like you had a lot of fun that show.
What? Man, in front of 15,000 people. I ain't never did no cocaine, but I'm pretty sure that's what it felt like to be in front of 15,000. You know what I mean? Just letting loose. Man, I was having a great fucking time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you murdered it. That was my first time seeing you, and I was very, very pleased.
Man, I appreciate that, man.
Now, I've heard from other comics who have who've gotten to do large venues, there's a different kind of energy when you're on the stage in front of 15,000 people. Can you describe that? I heard it's like a different wind that comes to the stage from the laughter.
Well, we got to look at it, man. You know, the Cat Williams show, Kevin Hart show, people done paid, what, $100 to come laugh. So, I mean, they so ready. I mean, they just ready, dude. You in a huge theater, 15,000. So even if you get, even if your joke's not really hitting that hard and you get 3,000 laughs, I mean,
right.
it's still like you smashing.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, it's crazy, man. I mean, it could fool you too, though. Like, you know what I mean? Because I've seen weak, comics that weren't so good do shows in front of 15,000, and
right.
they go out and take their shit in the smaller room and it'll bomb. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I was able to do my small room jokes and kill. So when I was rocking out, I felt 14,950 people laugh, because there's gonna be somebody that don't care what you laugh.
Right, right.
But I
someday.
Felt, you know what I mean? I felt that energy. So yeah, man. I've toured. I've been blessed to be on some big tours, and yeah, bro, you rock out on that stage, man. It's like the big leagues or something. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Could you talk about the first time you got in front of a big crowd? I mean, did you have a lot of nervous energy, or were you confident? How does that feel when you finally get to an arena, a civic center, or somewhere that holds, 1,000 or better?
Well,
what's that?
Well, my first really, really big show was when I did Comic View in 05, and that was my first television debut. And, I was extremely nervous. Like, I remember the producer putting the mic in my hand, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is really happening.
It's about to go
like,
down.
You ready? They was like, you ready? Knew had the little headset on. You ready? I'm like, oh, shit. Man, Cheryl Underwood, give it up for LaVon Walker. Man, I came out, man, but that nervous energy kind of propelled me, because I had to get to them laughs quick, and I was like, I was just giving it to them. So I had a really good set on Comic View. My first time, I was a new jack, and that was like my first big show. I was in a theater. We was doing it in New Orleans, like 2,000 people at the show. The line was wrapped around the block. It was crazy, dude. That was my first big, big joint. And I was like, okay, this is
and
cool.
And I happened to see that show. I saw that show. You were awesome.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. I had my little white shoes on. I had hair on my head. It wasn't a hat. It wasn't no hat or no glasses, man. It was just, you know what I mean? So I had a great, great time. And at that time, I was a farm. Shit, I was a full-time pharmacist when I did this show.
Right.
So, I mean, that's been my whole.
Did any of the comics mess with you? I know comics, we'll do that to one another. If we see some nervous energy, there's two things that can happen. They can even either encourage you or kind of mess with you, like, man, you're going to die out there, man. You got a booger in your nose.
Nah, I don't remember. Nah, because I didn't really know any of the comedians. You know what I'm saying? Like, outside, because I was just doing my thing in Atlanta. So all those other guys, I had seen them, like, on television, but I didn't know them, and I really wasn't trying to conversate. You know what I mean? I was just trying to get in my zone and rock out. I think on that show, it was me, Ray Lepowski, and I forgot the other couple of people. But, I didn't even see that, because, like, when you about to go out, you, like, right behind the curtain, and then the producers are with you pretty much, you know what I'm saying? Like, now, I'm a little more established, we'll talk shit to each other backstage. And we're like, you ain't going to be shit tonight, boy. I'm going to be here for you when you bomb. You know what I mean? Like, it's all kind of, you know what I'm saying? But that's just the camaraderie. I don't look at it as anybody really being that negative. But you have some haters that really want to see, you die. But you know what I mean. You just go do what you do. You know.
So do you go back and watch some of those old shows, or are you like me? I can't stand to watch myself. I ain't been on TV yet, but watch videos when I record myself, or even listen to myself at times. Are you good at that, or you just leave it alone?
cool at it. You know what I mean? I'm real hard on myself. So, but I, you know, my comic view, I think that comic view was like my best television work, even though it was my first. I mean, the Shaq shit was cool. They kind of, before I went out on the, when I did the Shaq show on Showtime, it was just so much shit going on backstage that was just pissing me off. So right. I was kind of in a funk mood when I came out, you know what I mean? And, you know, I missed a couple. I dropped some jokes. I had a cup in my hand because at that time, Nate Smith was managing me. And, you know, he's like, man, carry the plastic cup. You know what I mean? Plastic cup boys, all this shit. So I right. had a little red cup, and I dropped the cup, and shit spilled on the stage. But I didn't pay no attention. I kept going. So a lot of my set did kind of cut out of the show. You know what
right.
I mean? And it was just so much shit. I was like, I was just pissed, man. I was pissed on that one. Last Comic Stand, and it was cool. It was all right. Because I was trying to sell them a TV show on that. Like, I really want to do pretty much my pharmacy bits and really, you know, because that's a show. That's like regular.
Yeah, it is. It is. You know? It is.
And that's what I was trying to display to them. And I'm like, I mean, they gave me good reviews. I'm like, y'all don't get it. I mean, because when I came on the second episode, I smashed harder than I did on the first, but they didn't air it. You know what I mean? And then Ken was like, man, you need to get out the farm and be a full-time comedian or whatever. But I'm like, it was a whole big thing. Like, the second episode, they cut out a lot of what went on. But basically, they was like, man, you need to quit being a pharmacist. You're a phenomenal comic. And we going back and forth, and I'm like, shit, don't you think I'm trying to? You think I'm here to go back to fucking CBS, man? You know what I mean? Like, I'm working. Nigga, like, I didn't just walk out of the pharmacy and say, hey, you know what? Tomorrow I'm going to do Last Comic Stand. I said, nigga, you know how much work I done put in to get to this point? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
I think for me, man, I get a lot
of pushback, too, with me being a pharmacist. You know what I mean? I get a lot of pushback, but, you know, man, I grew up on the south side of Chicago. I come from nothing, you know what I mean? So, you know, to go to school and earn this doctorate and work my ass off and come out of an inner-city public school, man, that shit was hard for me, you know what I mean? Like, I really worked for this degree and for my position. And, you know, I tell people, you know, I'm honest about what I do because I try to encourage education and not
right.
just being a motherfucking entertainer with no education that's successful to tell you to go get an education. No, I'm telling you, this shit is helping me. It's helping to propel me and I'm able to use it. You see what I'm saying?
Right, right. And it's easy for some people, especially who hadn't went through that, like you stayed in school to get a doctorate. It's easy for people to say, oh, walk away from it like it's nothing. But, you know, they hadn't walked down the road you traveled. So
right,
that's
exactly.
one of the things
and
for
I'm
me.
Like, dude, yeah, it's like, you know, hell, I'm working my ass off. I'm in the streets every night telling jokes. When I first started, I was, you know, we do 14-hour shifts as far, 13, 14-hour shifts. And I'm getting off, still hitting the stage, not even looking for any money. Just all my shit was passion-based, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I've been able to do both. I've been able to do both and do it pretty cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was in Cats one night, and you walked in with your pharmacy coat on. I thought, before I knew who you really were, I thought it was a gimmick. Like, okay, this is the doctor of comedy right here.
Right.
bro, like, nah, it's real, man. I mean, and them jokes, that shit is real life, man. The truth is funny, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I got a lot of respect.
So if you're honest, like, that's one thing about comedy, being honest, man. Just be honest. You have to be honest. You know what I mean? That's why a lot of comics you watch, you know, you're doing dick and pussy jokes and dancing all fucking night. You're not talking about shit. People don't know you. They don't know who you are. You're supposed to use that platform so people will know you. You use it for people to get to know you. You use it to talk about your problems and to heal yourself and other people that are going through the same shit you're going through. A lot of them people, you going through the same thing with a lot of people, man. It's crazy, you know what I'm saying? And
hey,
from
let me just say that I have a great deal of respect for what you do, because I, like I said, I saw you at the Cat Williams show, and that's when I realized, oh, he's a pharmacist as well. I also have a profession, a 9-to-5, but I've let that hinder my progress on the stage. So what you've done is actually very inspirational. Now, if I weren't so lazy, I'd be on the stage right now. but
I mean,
yeah, I can relate.
I mean, I'll be honest, man. It's just passion, man. It's really just passion. I don't even look at it as me being, like, working hard. It's just, you know what I mean? I just love to do it. You know what I mean? Like a drug or something. You know,
I love to do it too, but you do it. That's what I'm saying. Like, people look at me, they're like, "Hey man, you if you want to do comedy, you have to quit your day job." And I thought that for a long time. And my thing was, I have student loans to pay back. So until comedy
can pay back those student loans. My thing is this, dude. Everybody, like right now, what's selling is dreams. People are selling drinks, and they're making a lot of money. And it's all this shit about quit your job and dream and all this shit. And you know what I mean? I'm not knocking people. Some people have made it that way. But you know what I'm saying? It's still a lot of fucking horror stories that don't nobody want to talk about.
Right.
You know what I mean? When you look at the homeless population in L.A., it's fucking unbearable. You know how many motherfuckers had dreams? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, what's wrong with somebody being realistic? And I'm burning the candle at both ends of the stick. I work, I tell jokes. And furthermore, when people tell me that shit, you can't have a job, all this shit, I'm like, well, what the fuck am I doing from 8 o'clock in the morning until 9 at night when I go on stage? What am I doing?
Nothing.
What the fuck am I doing? I mean, it don't take that long to make an Instagram video. You know what I mean? I mean, what am I doing? So, you know, man, I'm going to stick to my guns, man, and just preach this and show people, man, like, I don't think you need to struggle in your journey of being a star or accomplishing your dream. I mean, you just work your ass off. I mean, that's it. You know what I'm saying? And I mean,
no doubt.
Furthermore, I think, too, in this day and age, in this technologically advanced society that we live in, dude, I mean, people getting deals and all kind of shit, I think all that struggle shit is dead. I mean, this ain't 91, 92 no more. Don't nobody give a fuck about no 35, 40-year-old man talking about, you know what I mean, I'm out here hurting, trying to make my dream. Nobody fucking cares. Like, you know what I'm saying? Don't nobody.
Yeah, the mixtape,
I mean, I'm just being real. They looking at your appearance. They looking at all that shit. You know what I'm saying? So, you know. And the each is on. Like, everybody's journey ain't going to be the same either. So, you know, you have to just follow what your heart tells you to do, pretty much, you know.
Now, right now, we're in the social media age. And you have to be just as busy with social media as you are on stage. How does that work?
Now that...
For me, that part is my weak part. I'm kind of weak on that end. I mean, the Instagram shit, I was doing them and roasting motherfuckers and all that shit. But I don't think, and I got to start back because I got to continuously grow this fan base. I definitely have to do that more. And I might even have to start dabbing in that shit heavier than I do the stage portion, because I think I pretty much got the stage part down, but I just love the shit so much. So,
yeah.
Like, I think for me, Instagram and the social media are just like being a ball player. You got to have that fire left hand, that fire right. And, like, that's
right.
My left hand. I mean, and I got to work on it more. But you definitely have to, you got to do that shit, bro. You have to do that shit.
Yeah, no choice.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, now, why are you struggling living in a fucking car when you can pick up your phone, do fucking videos, and blow up?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You see how technology is shifting the fucking culture? Like, yeah, that Steve Harvey story is dead, man. Don't nobody give a fuck.
And that's,
you know what,
when I hang around the comics, you know, I have a lot of people in Atlanta, and that's the main thing they talk about, the social media presence. And for us comics that's over 35, you know, we didn't come up with that. So if you either sink or swim, either you get with it or, you know, the money's being made so far away from the stage now that you really have no choice, like you're saying.
Money is getting people to the stage. That's what's crazy.
Right.
Yeah, you got to do that shit to get people. Right, to get people to come to see your ass, to sell them tickets, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to do that shit to get those people to come out to see you at this point. So, you know, like, the horror stories you're hearing now is like, I mean, with an internet sensation or whatever, oh, man, I live with my mom or whatever, nigga, you 18. Everybody live with their mom at 18. Everybody's homeless at 18.
Right.
I'm so fucking sick of hearing homeless stories. Nigga, everybody's homeless at 18. My son is a baby. He's 5 months. He's homeless. He lives with me, but he's a homeless baby. He does not have a house or any money, and I provide for him. You know what I'm saying? So I just think that I have to debunk this whole struggle shit. It got to be debunked, bro. I mean, people need to be honest. And a lot of motherfuckers, they lying because you doing something, nigga. You delivering pizzas. You selling wheat. You're doing something. You know what I mean? Before you get famous. You doing something. You living with a fat bitch. You doing something for some bread. You kiss my ass. Oh, you know what
that
I mean?
Is,
so, that you know, don't feel crazy because you have a job. Huh?
No, I said that's a conversation I have with my wife all the time. I'm like, if I got to make it struggling, I guess I ain't going to make it. I can't live in the car.
Man, and bro, don't feel bad, man, because a lot of niggas that I know that I came up with and I was close to, man, who was successful in comedy. All them niggas, that man, nigga, keep that goddamn job. And these niggas are getting bread now.
Yeah.
All of them, man. You know what I mean? Like, all of them. I mean, this shit crazy out here, man. Keep you a job, or keep you a hustle, or keep something going on, man, until you get there. Because, I mean, like, say for me, for instance, I say, all right, well, fuck the pharmacy. You know what I mean? I'm about to get out here and get it. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't. It's all I got.
Right.
So as that money starts to dwindle, and I mean my offers and shit ain't where I need them to be, I'm gonna get better.
Right.
I'm gonna get better. I'm gonna get bitter, and I'm gonna get fucking angry. And I don't want to be bitter and angry. You know what I mean? I don't want to be angry. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
And so does the family. That baby gonna get bitter and angry if
right.
You can't provide.
Yeah. What that nigga, my son needs some milk. What the fucking rapper say? Me?
Oh,
I don't
man.
Like quoting his rapper.
He's in the losing seat right now. You can't quote me.
Man, how can Meek pull out of this, man? Does anybody know?
It's not going to happen.
He just staying silent, I guess, hoping people forget. We need a new scandal. There needs to be a new rap beef, a new scandal, something.
That nigga needs Olivia Pope, man. He needs Olivia Pope.
Like Drake said, he got body by his singing.
He got body by his singing.
I mean, the only thing he could do is maybe, like, call Drake late one night and be like, yo, first of all, I want to apologize for that tweet. maybe we can get on the road and get some of this paper. You know what I'm saying? Be you in the future. That's the only fucking way I think. I was fucking with Meek, man. I was like, yo, this nigga nice. You know what I mean? But now, anything he say is just going to give you, it's going to be hard for people to believe.
Yeah, yeah. And you're going to think about Drake. Like, that's marketing for Drake. Like, anytime Meek say something, you think of Drake now.
Right.
Right.
Back to back.
Yeah. And it's like, Meek is a tough guy. So it's like, ooh. I know you kill people, but why didn't you kill Drake? That's going to be the question. I mean, them tacos and them guns to your mouth, back even know. And I'm like, well, why didn't you do this? I've done nothing to you.
You can't blame Meek, though. You can't blame him. I mean, Rick Ross changed the game. He made fictional writing acceptable in the rap game.
Yeah. Wow. That nigga Ross music was hitting, man. That nigga, I don't know how. There's no way that nigga would have survived in the 90s. Ain't no way.
You know,
I
used to go to, I go to Derby every year in Louisville, Kentucky. You know, Derby is like a black Freaknik now, another Freaknik. But I used to see Rick Ross at the Derby parties just before anybody knew who he was. He would be up in the club or up in wherever the party was that night smoking weed like it was legal. And I had to ask people, is weed legal in Louisville, Kentucky now? But, yeah, he didn't give a damn. So he acted like a star, you know, maybe, I guess it's almost a decade ago now. But he couldn't go to them same parties and just be hanging out and smoking. He would be the feature act. Yeah. Yeah, you see him?
You know, I do believe, though, like, you know what I mean? You have to believe you're a star. You have to believe you're bigger than what you are. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was watching that Oprah belief shit, and I think that shit is real. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you
it
have
is.
To really believe in yourself, bro. You gotta be like, yo, I'm the hottest nigga out, man. Like, for real. You really gotta own that shit. And be that, bro. You got to. Daydream, imagine yourself. Like, when I'm driving, nigga, you know what? Every time I'm in my car, I picture myself driving through fucking Hollywood Hills in a fucking Wraith. Every time. A Wraith or an Aventador. Every time, bro. I'm visualizing this shit. You know what I mean? And you got to believe.
That's where I need to change my thinking, because every time I drive in my car, I see myself in a 2003 Oldsmobile 98.
No, man, it don't matter whatever you drive, but just, you know what I mean? Just listen to your music, man, and just picture yourself, man, however it is you want to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm starting to carry myself in a different manner, and if you carry yourself in a different manner, people will start to notice and they'll start treating you different. Now you definitely gotta have the product to back it up. So you can't be walking around arrogant and getting booed and bombed on stage. But if you halfway decent and you carry yourself in a positive way, like you know you are destined for success, I think it does make a big difference.
Yeah, man, it does. You're right. It does, dude. It does. Yo, have y'all heard that new game?
Woo! Yeah. I heard it yesterday.
Woo!
It's hot.
Woo!
Yeah.
Boy, that motherfucker drops heat. God damn, that motherfucker, that shit is ridiculous.
I just saw him on The Breakfast Club, and he was talking about that documentary, too. People are saying it's a classic.
Yeah, it is.
That motherfucker, that shit is a classic. I was listening to that motherfucking, that L.A. song. Woo!
Huh.
Man,
I'm
listen to this shit, bro.
He reminds me of the old game.
Man, dude, it's so dope. It's so fucking dope. That album is, oh, that shit's silly. Silly,
I bet
bro.
You to say it's one of his, it's definitely one of his best works.
Dang, I ain't bought
a rap album.
I
mean, he only did two albums, right? The documentary one and two, didn't he?
Nah, he's got another album out. I can't think of the name of it right now.
Yeah,
but
I think he's done three. I think he's done three prior to this one, if I'm not mistaken. But I might be wrong. I hadn't been up on game in a while.
As much as I listen to Stig, I know.
I had a few things I was going to ask you if you was in the studio. What do you think about the Million Man March? And did you have any inkling on participating?
No. I did not have any inkling on participating. I'm from the south side of Chicago. You know what I mean? So I'm very familiar with the Nation of Islam. As far as the nation is concerned, I believe that they do a good job in rehabilitating men, you know, ex-cons and, you know, knuckleheads or whoever. I think they do a wonderful job in that. As far as the minister is concerned, and you know, as far as the minister is concerned, I just don't really, like, what has the minister done? You dig what I'm saying? Like, we're going to meet up for this march. What are we accomplishing with this march? What are we accomplishing? Because we lead a march and they're still getting shot. You know what I mean? Like, it's still crazy. Like, why didn't we do this with Ferguson or, you know what I mean? Why wasn't this organized for something else? So I'm kind of cool. You know what I mean? Like, I'm good.
Yeah, my problem with the whole thing was not really a problem. I just never saw what the agenda was going to be. I kept doing research and I kept my ear to the street and like, what's the agenda? Am I going to be able to go to this march and come back with business ideas or something tangible, somebody I can connect with and get some things popping? You know, me as a comedian and trying to start a radio show, can I go to D.C.? Can I go to this thing? Are they going to have a forum for aspiring comedians, aspiring radio hosts and whatnot? I just didn't see it. And then when I heard the speech, I watched the speech Farrakhan did, and it was kind of disappointing because I thought this was a black movement, and he talked about Indians, I don't know, Martians.
You know what, though? On that note, we really do need to band with some other race because we're not doing it by ourselves anymore. We did it for every other race, but we're not doing it for ourselves.
Now, every other race don't fight our cause. So we always want to be inclusive, but, you know, when the other races are getting their 40 acres and a mule, what about them black people? What black people? What are you talking about? So everybody has reparations
what's the purpose? What's the point? And the thing I got to, another issue I have, and I'm not like a politician or no shit, I don't, you know, do anything, whatever. But another issue I have is the nation is in Chicago.
Right.
The minister lives in Chicago in Hyde Park. In his own backyard, children are getting killed.
Right.
Every day by black people. Niggas are killing each other every 15 minutes. So I'm like, you know what I mean? With that power, you marched on Washington and all this shit. Why not try to immobilize that crime in Chicago? Because it can be done, I think, because a lot of the brothers of the nation are ex-gangbangers and shit, and they was all killers anyway. So if they really sat down, say, yo, we're going to stop this madness. We're going to have some structure, and this shit stops today. If the minister would have sit down, said that shit and made that shit happen and made those murder rates go down, okay, he's doing something. But just talking, like, that shit ain't doing nothing. He's a beautiful orator.
Yeah.
But, you know,
it comes down to economics, too. With Farrakhan seems like a very self-made, you know, financially sufficient person. So how did you get your money, Farrakhan? How can the rest of Chicago live well like you, have armed guards or, you know, eat the finest shrimps and lobsters? You know, nobody ever talks about that. Like, how we get this money? Everybody talking about, oh, we need to pray, we need to march, we need to get together and demand this. But where the money at?
But he's a religious leader. So there's that, too.
Well,
understand, brothers, before we talk about the money, we must know that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't see it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I don't want to be out there with a bunch of mad-ass niggas talking about what the white man is doing for me. You know what I'm saying? I'm
not
going there. You know?
Yeah, that's my whole thing. I would like to have seen... you know, I would like to be there just to see a lot of black people together, peaceful and not, you know, ain't surrounding chicks who's twerking or making it rain, whatever. I would like to see that in my lifetime, just thousands upon thousands of black men being peaceful, having good will.
For the Falcons then.
Right? Yeah, I can go to a Falcons game, huh?
But no, it was a peaceful march. Nothing happened out there, right?
Yeah, not that we know of, but shoot, it didn't get no news coverage, so we don't know.
It got a little bit, but the little clip that I heard, I was unimpressed.
Now, the first march, right, because, okay, we did the first march. How many years ago? 20 years ago?
20 years, yep.
And that got a lot of coverage, right?
Yeah, initially, yep. Because I think
right.
It scared
so
white
like,
folks.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, guys, since that march, I mean, we've made progress, of course. We have a African-American president, but, I mean, what's been done?
Nothing.
Niggas,
I think we're
getting shot by the police. All this, like, it's crazy. Shit, it's probably, it seems like we're in worse times now.
Yeah, we are. We're getting shot. Economically, we're getting iced out. And I keep saying this. This is my prediction. Atlanta has seen its last black mayor. I think.
Nah.
I think
bro.
So. The gentrification is real. You look around Atlanta. Look around Atlanta. I think it started with the APS school scandal. And I'm not trying to be controversial here. It's just things I see. And I own some property in DeKalb County.
Oh,
and.
No. The Fulton County schools are still pretty shitty.
Yeah.
So like people aren't. They're going to spend. Families move. Well, especially white people. White people move around the best schools and the best hospitals. Period. So I mean, the school system will have to be great. And people going to Gwinnett. They're going to Alpharetta still.
You know, sometimes when white people move, things get better.
Yeah, things get better. They make it great.
But I don't think that Atlanta will be white, predominantly white, anytime soon.
I'm not saying predominantly white, but it starts with the leadership. You know, they drop precincts here and there, police precincts. They let you know the white folks come. You see white people jogging down Boulevard where you ain't never seen before. Like, you know, that's usually crackhead tracks.
But what they're trying to do, they're trying to break off, you know what I mean? Like, I think one of the pharmacists was telling me he lives in Alpharetta. So, Alpharetta, Milton, all those rich counties up there, they're trying to break off from Fulton County, South Fulton. See, they're trying to break off and form their own county. They want to call it Milton County.
Oh, yeah.
See what I'm saying? And they straight. That's what they're trying to do right now. But they won't let them because they need that tax revenue.
Yeah, they need that revenue.
South Fulton is going to go to shit. Like, it's over. It's already fucked up over there now, but it'll really...
Don't tell me that. I just moved there.
Yeah, JoJo just bought
a house. Yeah, I live... Where do you stay at? Where do you stay?
Off of Langford, 7585 Metropolitan.
God damn, that shit crazy over there, huh?
Yeah, it is.
I thought they was filming a Thriller video the first time I pulled up to his house.
Oh, man.
You move right to the trap. So I live in Walden Park, which is southwest Fulton County. And, you know what I mean? I'd be driving and shit, potholes, the streets fucked up. I mean, they're just not doing shit out there. You could tell, I could see the revenue is drying up. I see.
You know, it's not even just the city. This is one thing that I've noticed living in the hood, because it's kind of new to me. Even stuff as small, it's like the grocery stores don't have the best food. They don't have the vegetables and the fruits are near rotted, you know, the food that you get, the quality is just not that great. It's that's how they treat us
and then when the property values are cheap, here comes Mr. Establishment to buy it up, and before you know it, $1 million condos there, and then you can't afford your property taxes. And I think it's by design. What do you think about the Falcons, man? Are you a Falcon fan, being from Chicago?
You know what, I don't really watch sports. I'm not really into sports, so I would be lying. Like, and sometimes when people talk football to me, I get a little bit embarrassed. And, you know, I don't really say, you know what I mean? I don't watch sports. This motherfucker is
right.
A girly man.
Nah,
but I get embarrassed by it. I might just say some shit to throw a motherfucker off and say, well, you ain't got shit on Walter Payton. So that's all the fuck I really know about football.
I don't know what I mean?
Like, I don't really keep up, bro. So, I mean, they look like, I hear they killing.
Yeah, yeah, they vibing, and though. It's a buzz.
That crazy ass stadium they build, and they need to kill like a motherfucker to pay that shit off.
Right. And now, I talk about this.
I talk about this
all the time.
Oh, shit. This is why y'all want me in the studio so we don't talk over each other.
Oh, no, go ahead.
But look,
I was talking to
a buddy of mine, and he was like, that new stadium, they're going to charge a lot. Like, he buys season tickets.
Yep.
So they said in the new stadium, they're going to be charging what's called for seat license. Your seat license is $1,500.
Yep. Price and all these good, hardworking black folks out.
Right. But I was talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago. They were telling me that if you do have season tickets and you pay that seat license, you have dibs on your seats for every event that is hosted in the stadium. So,
yeah. You
know, what does that mean? I don't know. You've got the Chick-fil-A Bowl. You've probably got some college football games. So that makes it a little easier. But, yeah, they are pricing out a lot of people with that licensing fee.
You got the permission to spend more money with us. That's what he's saying. Give us all your money. I know you have obligations. I know you got a few shows that you want to promote. You want to talk about those shows?
Yeah, I'm going to be at the Laughing Skull. I'll be headlining the Laughing Skull October 29th, 30th, and November 1st. So the weekend of Halloween, come check me out, whoever's listening. Go to laughingskull.com. I'm on there. And get your tickets because I'm preparing for my 30-minute Comedy Central special.
Okay. Oh, so you will be filming Comedy Central there?
No. I'm preparing.
Oh, you're preparing. Okay.
Yeah. I'm building up, man.
So November 28th, is that that's Thursday, right? Starting on Thursday. I think that's how the Improv usually runs their shows.
Yeah.
It'll be one show Thursday,
one Friday. We're not doing nothing on Saturday. And then I'm at another, on the 25th, I'll be in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay, yeah, I saw that show. Yeah, okay, I thought it was two shows you had going on, Jacksonville. I might have a listener in Jacksonville, maybe just one.
Hey, that's so cool, bro.
Where can we see you on a weekly basis? I know you host Cats a lot when Carlos is not around.
I don't have any weekly room. I wouldn't mind getting me one, but at this time, no. I mean, maybe in the future. I used to be the host of Wild Out Wednesday at Uptown Comedy Corner. I held that shit down for a couple of years.
Okay.
But I'll probably give me some. I need to give me some because I just love to talk and be on stage all the goddamn time.
Well, cool. I ain't going to keep you on the phone. I know it's hard to do an interview over the phone. And we've probably been on about an hour now. So I appreciate you coming on the show, man, and talking to us. I just want to tell the people listening online that we're here every Tuesday, 8 o'clock next week. I have Landry coming through, the hilarious comedian Landry, and we're going to keep this thing going. So thanks once again, LeVar, for taking time out to come
you,
on
brother.
My show.
Have fun
all
tonight,
bro.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Yeah, no doubt. All right.
There you have it, LeVar Walker, not live and in person, but...
But live and in person.
So, yeah, just to reiterate, man, we're here every Tuesday, 8 o'clock. I got a lineup coming. So you tune in, man. I got people down wanting to come on, wanting to fellowship and break bread with your brethren. So until next time, everybody have a good week, and we'll holler at you later. You're listening to the Keno Trice Show.
Yo, Joe.
Peace.
I couldn't help but notice your pain.
My pain?
It runs deep. share it with me.
Love me.